Hello, everybody, and welcome back. This is Romina, and you're listening to My Little Globe. It's the second episode! Today I want to talk about going abroad, because it was a very, very precious experience for me, and I think it's just a very great thing to do for everyone, really. So anyone who has the chance to go abroad, wherever it might be, please do it. I encouraged my sister a few years ago to do the same, and she did, although she was much more brave than I was. And it made her grow in a way that nothing else could have. And it's the same with me. I grew a lot. I think it's great to go to a place all by yourself, where you might not even know a lot of people, and you just have to start from scratch, and maybe spend a bit of time on your own that we might not do a lot when we're at home. And I think it's just great to experience life in a different country, with a different climate, with different traditions, with a different way of living, basically. And you'll find yourself missing products that you normally get in your own supermarket, but that are not there, maybe. Or you get to know other products that you had never seen or heard of. So I think that's all a very, very precious thing to experience. And even if the thought of going abroad might be scary sometimes, it is totally worth it. Believe me, I have never met anyone who went abroad and regretted it afterwards. So my first experience of going abroad was actually a small one. I went to Mallorca for 2 months to do an internship there that I had to do for school back then. I needed to work in a hotel. Now, it was not mandatory to go abroad, but I wanted to. And as my mom had already worked in Mallorca before I was born as a tour guide, she had a few contacts there to ask whether I could do my internship over there. I knew the island pretty well before going there because we went there every year. So at least once a year we spent a week there. Sometimes it was up to 3 times a year. At the beginning I went there with my mom and my grandmother, then my sister was born, then we went the four of us. And at some point it was only my mom, my sister, and me again. But the point is that I knew the zone where I was going to work, and the island felt like a second home to me. However, I didn't really speak Spanish very well back then. I had it at school as a subject, but the problem with languages, as I mentioned in my first episode already, is that when we learn them at school, we learn how to write and we learn the grammar, but we are not really able to communicate. So this is what happened to me. I was still very intimidated. I understood almost everything people said, but I just couldn't, I didn't dare to speak. So basically, I started this summer with the plan of getting my Spanish skills brushed up and just having new experience in a lot of areas. For example, the working area, of course, and then I had only had one boyfriend before going abroad, so I was certainly also looking forward to, I don't know, meeting guys and going out maybe at night, having fun basically, and spending a lot of time on the beach, of course, obviously. Now, Austria is landlocked, and that's why I really, really enjoy the sea whenever I can be there. Whenever I can see the ocean, I already feel so much better. So, of course, I spent a lot of time on the beach, but when I got there, at first, things didn't really work out. There were some problems at the hotel where I should work. And so the first days I just spent on the beach because they had nothing for me to do, basically. Then one day, the director of the hotel called me and told me that I couldn't work at all in that hotel. And I still remember myself sitting on that bed in that room without windows, crying. I was 17 years old, and the first thing I did, of course, was calling my mom. But my mom didn't pick up the phone. So I sat there kind of desperate because I didn't even understand exactly what the director told me because my Spanish was not very good. I couldn't ask the questions that I would have asked maybe in German, for example. Anyhow, the family of the director had more than one hotel. So I was transferred to another hotel that I had never been to, because to the first hotel I had already been a few times, no, many, many times actually, for holidays. So all the workers knew me since I was a baby, basically. So I went to that new hotel and they put me to reception, which was great. I had the afternoon shift. I did 5 hours per day. I got a room in a hotel on the other side of the street. I could eat in the hotel. I could go to the swimming pool of the other hotel where I lived. So it was actually very, very nice. My shift always ended at 11 p.m. So I had the perfect timing for going out at night and still having time the next day to go to the beach or do whatever, shopping, go to the city, or anything I wanted to do, basically. So I had a wonderful summer. I met a lot of people. I started talking in Spanish fluently because I had many Spanish colleagues. So I had the chance to improve my Spanish. I started thinking in Spanish. I started dreaming in Spanish. I even had talks to myself in Spanish. So until today, I'm very, very grateful. And I'm happy that I did that I did go abroad, even if it was just for 2 months. However, my days were fantastically great. As I said, I spent a lot of time on the beach. I had long walks on the beach because I really like that. And in the evenings, I always went out. Now, I went out without any plan where I was going. Normally during the week, I went to the touristic places. There were a lot of Germans in the area where I worked. So I just got to know a lot of German people. Every night I got to know someone different. And that's the nice thing when you're by yourself, when you're alone, or when you're traveling alone, then you just get to know far more people than when you are with your friends or family. So I enjoyed that. I basically went outside on the street and I knew that within a few minutes I would get to know somebody. And that was just my everyday life. On the weekends, I went to the Spanish places, of course, because there were the locals and Spanish music that I love. I really do. So it was a perfect mix. As for the work, I really, really loved working at the reception. It was a small hotel. I guess that's what made it so nice, because I basically recognized my own guests, even if I met them on the streets or somewhere else. And I discovered my love for the guest contact, for being part of the holiday of someone, which is always something very good because you can just contribute something nice to the holidays of other people. Now, the thing that I missed most was our Austrian bread. Now, for everyone who isn't familiar with the Austrian or German lifestyle, we do eat a lot of bread, like on a daily basis, and we have many, many kinds of bread. In Spain, normally they eat white bread, of course. And I like white bread too, so I enjoyed that one. But I just had the feeling that it didn't do me so well. Like my stomach, after a few weeks, wasn't so happy about all of the white bread. So that was an interesting discovery because I hadn't realized before how much our bread means to me. So this is what I learned from it. But other than that, I didn't experience any homesickness or anything like that. My sister, on the other hand, she went to Ghana a few years ago. She did an internship there and she built furniture from bamboo wood. Now, of course, going to Ghana is something completely different than remaining in Europe. But I saw how much she grew in just 1 month. She, on the other hand, she experienced a lot of homesickness. Then, of course, the food was very different to ours. But the good or positive thing about that one is that before she went to Ghana, she was quite complicated when it came to food. She didn't like a lot of stuff. Well, she came back and she was just much easier in that way, because now she eats a lot of stuff that she wouldn't have liked before. So what I want to say here is that it's not always easy to be abroad. It's not always only positive. At least there can be moments that you're not happy, but still it can teach you so many things that you couldn't learn just by staying at home and that can't be taught at school. Now, apart from those first days that were difficult for me because they shifted me to that other hotel, the whole summer was just beautiful for me. So in my case, I really cried when I had to go home. And then I went to the airport and I was over the luggage limit, the weight limit of the luggage. And I had to pay, I think it was 50 euros. And I was devastated. I cried. I was sobbing at this airport, which didn't really bother the guy sitting in front of me telling me that I had to pay 50 euros. Well, I eventually got home, of course, and I still was sad for a few weeks. I had to go back to school, which of course wasn't as great as working in Mallorca. But I was about to finish. It was my last year. And in February, I had holidays. So we went to Tenerife. We had been to Tenerife quite a few times before. And we went to a hotel that had entertainment. My sister and me, we went inline skating with the entertainment manager. And after a while, he looked at me and he said, "Do you want to do entertainment? Because I have a job for you, if you want one." And I had already thought about it a few years before. And it was just like, you know, this opportunity fell from the sky directly into my hands. So I couldn't say no. And I was like, yes, please. So I finished school in June. And after that, I went directly to Tenerife, where I stayed first for 6 months. And then I came back for another 6 months. So I am totally in love with Spain, of course. I am totally in love with the traveling part, with being abroad. I don't ever really suffer from homesickness. Apart from the moments when I receive letters from my mom. Because yes, my mom still sends me letters whenever I live somewhere else. And every time I get a letter, they make me cry, even if they're positive. I don't know what happens in that moment, but they really make me cry. However, it might not be the same for everyone, but I think going abroad once in your life is always a good idea. So, of course, spending a whole summer in Mallorca, I fell in love. And now we're at the love part that I promised last episode already. The evening I got to know this guy was kind of funny because I went out, as always, without any plan where I was going. And I met one of these promoters. There are a lot of promoters on the streets in Mallorca in summer. It's always Germans, actually, who just promote the clubs and the bars to the tourists. However, one of them bumped into me when he just had finished working. And he asked me if we would go for a drink, and I said yes. So we walked for a while, and after a bit in this one very crowded touristic street, he started to fight with someone, first with words, and then everything got worse, and I just took a little distance because I didn't even know that guy, and I certainly didn't want to be dragged into a fight or something similar. However, I was standing on the side just watching, and next to me there were two guys leaning against the wall, and they looked at me and they laughed and they were like, "Is this your boyfriend?" And I looked at them and I said, "No, actually I don't even know this guy." So when the fight was over, the first guy came back to me and he was like, "Well, let's go on." But I told him that I wanted to stay with the other two guys because those seemed very nice. Now, one was very tall and the other one had dark skin, and both were very, very nice to me. So we went to have a drink. They introduced themselves, and the guy with the darker skin told me that his name was Jerome. The three of us got along very, very well, and we spent the evening together. We went to a bar, then we went to the beach, and the next days we met every once in a while, and I really, really got along with Jerome. We went dancing a few times, and I really enjoyed dancing with that guy because he just felt the music. He just had it in his blood. And here I have to give you a little side note, because Austrians, or most Austrians, really don't know how to dance. They will still dance maybe, but when you see their dance and you hear the music, the two things don't really go together. So they dance with a completely different rhythm than the music's rhythm. However, I really enjoyed dancing with that guy, and then at night we kissed, and it was very, very nice. It was beautiful. So I kind of fell in love a bit. But then, of course, the day came when they went home. So he brought me to my hotel at night, and we said goodbye. And then he looked at me with a very, very serious look, and he was like, "I have to tell you something." And he told me that he had lied about his name. So basically, he introduced himself with the wrong name. However, I found it kind of funny, and I was like, yeah, I totally get it, because in Mallorca, you don't expect to meet anyone that you really like. You just, you know, play around more or less. You get to know too many people to be serious with everyone. So I understood it, but it was still weird. I didn't expect anyone to lie when it came to names. However, he told me his true name, and we promised that we would stay in contact. Now, that's what we did, and romantically enough, he sent me a letter, like a real letter, with pictures of the two of us that we had taken, and with pictures of him so I could look at them, and he also wrote me a poem. So it was really, really nice. We started Skyping a lot, and so we had a lot of video calls, and I planned to visit him a few months afterwards. So I think we met in July or August, must have been August, I guess, and in October I wanted to meet him again in Germany. So I was super excited for that holiday, and I went there, and I didn't even know how would we even say hello. Would it be a hug? Would it be a kiss? What would it be like? And I got to the city. The city has an awful huge airport. So, however, it's Frankfurt. So whoever has to go to Frankfurt, be prepared. The airport is just too big. So when I met him, it was just a weird situation. I mean, we said hi, but it wasn't a really warm hi. It was more of a very distant greeting. And of course, I slept at his place. He lived at his parents' house still. And I slept in his room. So we slept in the same bed. And I thought we would cuddle. But he just turned away from me. And he started doing that right at the beginning when there couldn't have happened anything. So I was super confused and I didn't really know what to do or where to go because I knew my flight back was just 3 days afterwards. So how would I spend the next 3 days? It was very confusing. Then we did some stuff together during the day, but it was always this weird situation. I was so much in love and he was just so distant when he was so close to me at the same time. So the last night, it was Saturday, we met a few of his friends and we went to a club together to dance. He started dancing with a complete stranger. So he danced with a woman who he didn't really know and he ignored me. I'm not the jealous type. I'm not jealous at all. But I was very, very sad. So I sat down and I still remember myself sitting there in this club in tears and nobody really cared. So I sat there for at least 30 minutes crying, sobbing. Nobody did care. However, the next day was the day that I went home. So I wrote him a letter because I didn't really know how to address the topic in person. And I told him that I still hope that we would stay in contact. Now, it turned out that I wasn't strong enough to stay in contact with him. I think I deleted him from my friends list on Facebook because I just couldn't bear seeing his pictures. However, 3 years after that, so in the year 2016, I decided to go to Mallorca once more to work there. I worked there for 2.5 months. This time I worked at the same hotel, but with a regular working schedule and payment. So one day I am walking on the streets and I get a text from him saying that he was in Mallorca and asking if I was there too. Now this was a very weird coincidence because I hadn't been to Mallorca in any summer between 2013 and 2016. And just when I went back there, he was back there too. So we met up and it was all great. It was as if we would never have lost touch. So I really enjoyed being with him. We had, I think it was just one great evening because after that he went home again. But yes, that's when we started being in contact again because it just felt right and we really got along. It was all super fun. I asked him why that happened 3 years before, why he pushed me away. And he told me that it was some kind of issue he had regarding relationships. He is an adopted child, so there were some deeper reasons to all of this. 2 years later, he came to visit me in Vienna. It was a very, very, very great weekend that we had. And this time, he slept in my bed. And yes, we did cuddle. And he didn't turn away or push me away, which was kind of nice. But yeah, this is how life taught me that going abroad will make you meet people that you wouldn't meet in your normal life, maybe. And even if paths might separate at some point, they can also find their way back together. And that's what I love about life. It's full of surprises, positive and negative ones, of course. But just because people disappear in one moment, this doesn't mean that they won't come back into your life ever again. So right now we're not in contact a lot. I think I texted him for his birthday, he texted me for mine. So that's basically it. But still, I'm kind of sure that we will see each other again. And I really, really like our story. I think it's just a wonderful thing that should be shared with the world. So that's why I thought it should be on this wonderful podcast. Okay, guys, let's wrap it up here for today. I think the two basic messages that I wanted to give you today were, if you have the possibility to go abroad, do it, go for it. It will make you grow. and let life surprise you. I believe that there's always something good in store. Now I want to thank you for listening and make sure to subscribe to this podcast. My Little Globe is available on 6 platforms already that are Breaker, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Radio Public, Spotify, and Anchor. So subscribe on any of these platforms and you'll be up to date. And now I wish you a wonderful rest of the day or night, and I hope to welcome you again in next week's episode.